Lord, and that's better, and open the word of the Lord. I recognise my accent might be a bit different from yours, so please bear with me. I'm just going to get a drink of water, actually, before. So did we all have a good Christmas? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Are we excited for a new year? Praise the Lord. This is a time when, as we've heard this morning, it's a time when we look forward in this year. We always make resolutions. We start planning these regrets already. And we look forward to see what this year can hold. Yesterday, I've been up since Friday. I'm from Bradford. I'm great friends with the Jacksons and with the Emersons. And I've been up a couple of times and spoke around this area. And they've invited me back to speak and to spend the weekend with them. I tell you, it's good. I'm getting looked after. I'm having quality streets for breakfast. Now, let me tell you, wherever a preacher goes and gets quality streets for breakfast, you know you're in a promised land, I tell you. And yesterday, an episode happened where my life flashed before my life because I got on a horse. I've never been on a horse before in my life, and it seems the most natural thing to do around here. Where I'm from, people ask if you want to get in a car. Here, people say, do you want to get on a horse? And there's so many dead animals as well up here. Everyone, I know. I went into some farmyard and there were dead animals strung up everywhere. I thought, where have I come to, Lord? Where have you brought me? And so thank you for inviting me to this great place and to this great church. I've heard so much about your church, and it's on my heart and my church's heart that we pray for you. And we do pray for you every week. We pray for your blessing, for your protection, and for your growth. When I look at these times, and they are perilous times for a Christian in today's age, when we look at what it means to be a Christian now, we only have to look around the world and we'll see persecution to Christians. We only have to look in the Middle East and we can see what's happening to young Christian people of being converted, being beheaded, being killed, being sacrificed. We only have to look at Christian families and lives in Africa, in Nigeria, Boko Haram, what's happening to the young Christians there. And we think the persecution of Christians is elsewhere. We only have to look in this country that we've had nurses sacked recently for wearing a cross. We know that they've taken Christ out of schools. My niece, who was at school, she's 10 years old, can no longer take an hot cross bun into school at Easter in the fear of offending somebody. We only have to look at the church. I'm afraid to say that we've taken Christ out of some churches. And we're in perilous times now as a Christian. To be persecuted as a Christian now is something of the norm. We're not free to express what we believe in fear of upsetting somebody else in this country. Or if we're abroad, we'd be in fear of his actual lives. Now, when you speak about a Christian life like that, it maybe don't fit what we feel today. But that is the life that a Christian should be facing, or is facing. It's not a, it don't paint a pretty picture, and it's not something that looks appealing. But as we'll see today, that's the norm. And I've come here today to encourage you in that circumstances. I've prayed heavily about what I should bring today, and I felt the Lord really prompt me to say in a time of perilousness, at the beginning of a year, that you're not sure what you are going to face this year, hold strong and faithful and do not fear. We're going to read from Matthew 10, and actually I'm going to start at 16. You know, recently I asked a non-Christian, I got talking to a non-Christian and I said, I'm a Christian. What do you think I am when I'm a Christian? He told me that I was superstitious. These are his words: superstitious, dim-witted, an idiot. That's got nothing to do with being a Christian. Homophobic. Someone who's got a problem with abortion. To him, being a Christian means that I've got something wrong with me, that I oppose him, that I've got a problem with him. Isn't this amazing that we are sent to be light of the world and to help people, and that's how we're viewed? It always intrigues me what people think of us and how we handle that. And we're going to find out now what Jesus says about that. Have we all got to Matthew 10:29, 19? I'll start 16. See what happens when you get older, your eyes get worse. 16. Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware, men. For they will deliver you over to the courts and flog you in the synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors, kings, for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and the children will rise up against their parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns in Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of the household? So have no fear, for nothing is covered that will be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. When I tell you in the dark, say in the light. What you hear whisper, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body and cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are much more value than those sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before the Father, before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word does renew our mind. Father, we ask that you'll turn over the ground of our hearts so we can receive your word, Lord. We thank you for this glorious day. In your Son's name, amen. So, we've got a passage. We have a passage here where Jesus has called his disciples to him. And he's going to send them out. He's going to send them out. Now, the job to send them out is in verse 8, it says you're going to proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse out lepers, cast out demons. He's pulling them together and he's saying, you've heard of the kingdom of God. You've heard that there is one true God. I am him. There's only one way into heaven. That's through repentance of sins, accepting me. That is the kingdom of God. You need to go tell people this. You need to proclaim this. And to prove that I am him and the kingdom of God is here, you're also going to cleanse people. You're going to heal people. You'll drive out demons. You will help people. And that will justify and that will prove that the kingdom of God's on the move. This is what Jesus called the disciples to at this point. He's called the disciples to go out and be his hands and feet and proclaim his message to all in around Judea and Israel as we know it today. And isn't that interesting that he's sending out his disciples to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, and even raise the dead. And then he says to him, but don't fear, because you're going to get persecuted. That is such a strange thing to happen. Wouldn't we love as a community somebody to be able to come in and take away sickness and take away suffering? Isn't that what hospitals are for? To help and heal people? I'm sure when Bex goes to work on a morning, Sid don't say to her, do not fear, because you're going to get persecuted today for going to help people. Isn't that such a strange thing for Jesus to give a command to somebody who's going to go out to help the community? Shouldn't we be received with open arms as Christians? In fact, all the disciples died of an horrible death. Not one of them died of a nice death. Even John, who died of natural causes, were sent away to die isolated on an island by himself. They were beheaded, they were boiled, they were crucified. Why would these people be persecuted for healing, for doing good, for reaching people, casting out demons? I know some people that might need that doing to them, I'll be honest with you. That might be welcomed where I'm from. Is that why they were persecuted? No. We know that the reason for these Christians, these first Christians to be persecuted, and for Christians today to be persecuted, is Jesus. It is the name of Jesus why they were persecuted and why we will face troubles, toils and strifes. Look at verse 22. He says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. He's saying to him, you will go out and you will do amazing things. But let me tell you, because you're doing it in my name, the world's going to hate you. He says, you could go and heal the sick. You could bring hope to a community. But when you do it with my name, you will be hated. That is the call of that Christian. The world will accept anybody helping it. It will accept handouts. It will accept you healing it, you curing it, but it will not accept the name of Jesus. I'm now working with a young man who is from Iran. He were a Muslim in Iran and he befriended an Albanian Christian. Now in Iran, you can be born a Christian. and you'd be fine. You're a second-rate citizen, but you will not... You've got to pay a tax on that. You've got to pay a tax to be a Christian. You're a second-rate citizen, but you can live. The friend that I'm working with now, because upon meeting this Albanian, he becomes a Christian. So he's meeting in secret because the Lord spoke to him. He read the Bible. He got converted. He repented of his sins. He knew the truth, but he had to meet in secret. His brother phoned him up and says, they've found out. They've taken your Albanian friend away. You'll never see him again. And now they're after you. He had to walk across the border to Turkey with nothing, absolutely nothing. He then gets to Paris. From Paris, he gets to London. From London, they send him up to Bradford because we've got a big immigration depot. He lived as a prisoner in these immigration camps because he believed in Christ. He said, if I go back and my life's over, they'll find me and they'll kill me. Daily they go around threatening my mum and dad and all this. I said, I spoke to my brother on the internet. He said, what am I to do? I says, why? Why? He said, Jesus. Why are you on the run, Jesus? Why will you never see your family again because of Jesus? This is the one thing that separates us from anybody else. It's the one thing where in our life we will face toils and trouble because of the name of Jesus. Jesus says to his disciples, go out and do good, but I warn you. The world will accept everything but the truth, unfortunately. And the truth is that Jesus is God. If you are unaware of that today, if you were a newcomer to church, if you're thinking about faith, looking into faith, if you've been a Christian for 20 years, 30, 40 years, and you do not know this fact, this is the one fact you must take away. Jesus is God. That is the truth. There's no other way. That is what we stand on and we believe in. We believe in that Jesus is God, and the only way into heaven, to a relationship, into his presence, is through his blood which he sacrificed. That is what we believe. And proclaiming that and standing on that, that truth is the truth that will get you persecuted. By putting Jesus in his right place brings condemnation of yourself. In fact, Jesus says in verse 21 that brother will deliver brother over to death. Father and his child and his children will rise up against his parents and put him to death. Not only will non-believers, some strangers don't know, will persecute you for loving Jesus, it says your own family will turn against you and put you to death. I've been a Christian long. I'm from a staunch atheist family. A real working class family. You know one of them families that save up to be poor. You know the real tough as nails, them ones. No one ever cries and you know, real tough. I went baby at family, so I cried all the time. And when I became a Christian, at first, this was the mindset. Ah, oh, that's all right for you. As long as it works for you and you're happy, that's okay for you. And then when I said, it's got nothing to do with me, I'll be honest with you. The truth is that you need him more than me. I've got him now. And the truth is that although I love you, my brother, we ain't going to be in heaven unless you believe on him. And no longer does Jesus permit me to accept uncondoned behaviour that's in my family anymore. I haven't spoke to my family for nearly a year now. Because I've taken it too far. because I've become serious about Christ, because I'm that Bible-bashing Christian now. And I haven't. I've just professed the truth that only through Jesus will we be saved, we'll be into heaven. My family's gone. I'm not sure they'd turn me over to death. My mum might, but my brothers. But this is what we face. And when I look into this year, some of you may be looking into this year with absolute aspirations. With the your life might be comfortable. And I'm not here today to say that our life is horrible, because it's not about that. It's about being realistic about if we stand for Jesus, and in all we do for Jesus, and we proclaim it and put his name to it, we will face persecution. And we must get into a mindset, when we look in the future, down this year, are we preparing ourselves for ministry? When you said, what are we going to do for the kingdom of God? Do we put a warning on that and say, yes, we will do something for the kingdom of God, but let's warn ourselves that when we do, we will face persecution. We will face opposition. We will face hatred. Never before has the Christian faith been under such scrutiny and attack. You've only got to switch on the TV and you see the most aggressive attack on Christianity than you've ever seen in our country. The laugh and the mock and the degrade our Lord Jesus Christ. It's become a cool thing to joke about our Lord Jesus Christ. You only have to watch certain cartoons and they pull him apart. We had a Christmas message on our TVs at Christmas that only proclaimed Jesus as light of the world, not saviour of the world. No, that's too much. It can be light of the world. And acknowledging Jesus as a part of our life and as a part of our work is the most important thing. It's the most important thing that you will do in your Christian life. And let me tell you why. Because you will not be doing it in heaven. Going around saying, I'm a Christian, will not be done in heaven. Everybody will know you're a Christian because we'll all be there together. Sharing the name of Jesus is the most important thing that will be done on this side of the grave. Acknowledging that you are a Christian will be the most important thing. And Jesus says in verse 32, he said, so everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. He says, when you go out and do all these great things, the only thing I want you to do is to acknowledge my name. Is to say my name. And he said, you know, when you do that, when you testify of me, I'll testify of you. He says that when you proclaim him, he will proclaim you. Now, the word acknowledge, it means more than just say. The original wording in this, I'm not them type of preachers that come, the Greek. I don't know that. I know Yorkshire. That's my limit. But I do look and I do research. I'm not going to profess that I'm a Greek scholar. My name in Apollos, whatever. The wording that it means more than to say. Because we know in the Bible that even the devil will say the name of Jesus. What that word means, it means not only to proclaim, it means to witness. It means to testify to the truth. It means to confess. It means to agree. It means to admit. It means to profess an allegiance with. It means to follow Jesus. When you say you are a Christian and you say the name of Jesus, that you are doing your everything in the name of Jesus. You are proclaiming that your life is an allegiance to Christ. You're saying that Jesus is the God and my life is going to follow him. It's going to be in line with him. I'm going to proclaim that he is the truth, the life. He is the way. Jesus says, when you say them things about me, when you say that that your life is following me, everything you do is because of me and for me, and as a witness to me, then I will say, my righteousness is for you. He says that you are hidden within him. He says that his blood will wash all sin away. He says that we are presented perfect in him. He says that we will live forever because of him. He says that we have not have to fear death because he has conquered life through him. He loves us, and nothing will take us away from the love of the Father and out of the hand of Jesus. You acknowledge me, and I will acknowledge you. Because of this, we do not fear what the future holds. What your life has in store, we do not fear. What your job has in store, we do not fear. Whatever your marriage looks like this morning, we do not fear. If you cannot even face tomorrow, today we do not fear. If you're scared of what the future holds, do not fear. If you are battling death, if you are battling disease, we do not fear. Because if you acknowledge Christ in front of men, he will acknowledge you in front of the Father. And we no longer fear for what the future holds. This is not me as a rhetoric, try to build up or try to convince anybody. This is the word of God and this is the truth. That whatever we are facing today, we face it without no fear. Jesus says in verse 26, he says, so do not fear them. Who are them? The ones that are going to come and persecute. When you stand for Christ, you will be persecuted, but do not fear them. Do not fear them. I tell you in the dark, say in the light, what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetop, and do not fear. The Lord's saying, what you do in this building, what you hear from each other, the greatness that you talk about, the things you want to do for Christ, what Christ has done in your life, say it out aloud and do not fear what comes. Don't worry about what's going to come, just worry about saying it. The Lord will protect what comes. You just worry about doing your part and he'll worry about doing his part. We do not fear for anything in this life. If you are here today and you want to make a commitment for Christ, but you're thinking, oh man, when I tell my friends, they're gone. My family, definitely. What am I going to have left? Do not fear. If you're thinking it's about time people know, need to know my work, what my stance is. They need to know where I am. I know what they're going to think of me. Do not fear. You know somebody's in need. You know desperately somebody's in need. And the only thing they need is Jesus. Do not fear in taking Jesus to him. Do not fear. In fact, Jesus says that we should be in a fearful. Everybody in this room, and myself included, should be at a point now where I'm looking at forward in this year going, I'm pretty scared of you, God, because I know I'm making a stand for you this year that I've never made a stand for you before. I know I'm going to proclaim your name like I've never proclaimed before. I know I'm going to do things for you that I've never done before, and I am terrified. Lord, I am terrified. And the Lord's going to say, do not fear. Lord, I'm scared of taking this step for you. I'm scared of actually just walking away from this job because I want to live for you, Lord. I want to do your work. I'm scared of not having enough money. I'm scared. Do not fear. Do not fear. Lord, we are scared as a church. We've got some land and we've got a building. We've got to fill that church and we've got to... How are we going to impact the community? It does not seem... Do not fear. It is right to have them fears. The Lord's saying, listen, you should be fearful. In fact, if you're not fearful as a Christian, I'd say we're not living a Christian life. If the result of being a Christian is persecution, and we are not looking to face that this year, then I'm saying we don't live a Christian life. And what will happen if we do not stand together and acknowledge Jesus? He ain't going to acknowledge us. And he says, fear that. He says, fear the one that I am going to acknowledge you to. Not what people think I'm going to do on this earth. He says, don't fear that. But fear what happens if you don't do it. If you do not take a stand for Jesus. If you do not proclaim his name. Fear that. Because I will not acknowledge you in front of the Father. Not a lot scares me, I'll be honest with you, except for big horses and dead animals. That petrifies me. Not a lot else scares me. I'm going to share tonight and I'm going to share on my testimony. So I'm mindful not to share too much today. And today is about bringing a word that the Lord wants to give us, to focus us on this year. But I will tell you tonight in my testimony, I've been in some of the craziest situations you will ever know. And I've been terrified of my own shadows a lot of times. I've been in situations that are not good. That are seriously not good. And I never feared then. I never feared for my life. But now I fear. Now I fear. Now I fear that I do not live for Jesus. Now I fear that I do not proclaim his name when I should proclaim his name. That I walk past somebody that I know is in need of a saviour. And that I don't acknowledge it's Jesus. Or I look forward in my life and I think, actually Bruce, you know, you've come out of the pits. You've come out of addiction. You've come out of homelessness. You've come out of all that. You know, you've got a TV. I've got a couple of channels on it. I eat Quality Streets for breakfast. You know what I mean? I get to wear a nice white shirt. My life's cracking. I can just stay where I am. But Jesus says, no. If that's your life, you're not living as a Christian. He's saying, this is what your life should be, proclaiming my name and being fearful. And that scares me. That gets me petrified. But that should be a Christian life. Why do we not fear for what the world can do to us? Well, verse 26 to 31 tells us, it says, do not fear them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be unknown. What I tell you in the dark, I'll say in the light. And what you hear whisper proclaimed in housetops. The first thing is that we're not all crazy with a mad secret. The truth is going to come out in the end. And when that truth comes out in the end, that Jesus Christ is God and the only way to God, we'll all be stood on the right side. That is the day when you'll fear. So don't think that you've got a crazy secret that no one can see and believe in. The truth will come out. He says, and do not fear those that can kill the body, but rather him who can destroy both the body and soul in hell. He says, fear the Father. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And have not one of them fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head have been numbered. Fear not. Therefore you have got more value than sparrows. The Lord's saying, why shouldn't you fear? And he puts it in such a way, in two simple ways so we can see it. Firstly, he says, this is why you should not fear. Because if a sparrow falls from the sky, the Father knows about it. What is Jesus saying then? He's saying that nothing happens without the Father knowing. He knows everything that has happened, happening and going to happen. And you should not fear because of that. Nothing catches God by surprise. Whatever you're facing, or you think you're going to be facing, trust me, God knows about it and he's preparing you to go through that. Whatever you're worried about today, trust me, God knows and he's preparing you. He's putting the right people around you. There's nothing that's going to happen in your life. You know, God knows everything that is going to happen. And does the Bible not say it will not give you anything more than you can handle? Does he not say that he walks with us? He strengthens us? He will never, ever abandon us? Are we not his adopted children? If he was prepared to come and die on a cross, he's not abandoned us now. That's what he did so he could be with us now. Because he knows every little thing that's going to happen. That's why we do not fear. He then says, do not fear because all your hairs on your head are numbered. Now it didn't take long for him to count nine. I've had this problem for a long time. So what does he say there? Isn't that crazy? That if I said to you, right, because you love Jesus, you're going to die. But don't worry, because if a sparrow spurs, you've got hairs on your head. You'd say, well, what? That is the craziest way to tell me not to fear. So why the numbers on your head? He said, because there's a God of detail. God knows every little thing about you. There's nothing in your heart, soul and mind that he does know. It even knows the hairs on your head. Every detail in your life, he is woven into. There's not a part of your life where he is not. There's not a part of a stress, a worry, a fear that he does not know about. There's not the littlest thing in your life that he does not care about. He even cares about your heirs that much, he's taking time to count them. He knows everything and cares for everything in your life. And he's saying, I care for it that much. I already know that's what's going to happen to you. And I care for you so much that you should not fear. Our God is a God of detail. He's a God of small things in our life. He cares about our troubles. He cares about our small, insignificant problems. And he says, do not fear him. He says, in fact, cast all your troubles onto me. Your pains, your obstacles, no matter how small, he will care, love. He will keep us. Brothers, sisters, no matter what your future looks like, we have a God who cares, loves, that will strengthen and be with. I call on us, brothers and sisters, in a world where we are taking Christ out of every fibre of society, that we stand tall, proclaim the name of Jesus. and put Jesus where he belongs, amongst the people. And standing on the name of Jesus and proclaiming it. I urge us, do not fear. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word that says, when we stand on your name, all hell will release and come against us. But we have a God that has defeated death, hell, defeated persecution. And we can stand without fear on the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will make this year, as we look into it with fear and trepidation for standing on your name, you will make it a year that surpasses last year. Lord, we do not wish to hold you in church rooms no more. You belong to the people. The people need saving, not bricks and walls. Heavenly Father, strengthen us to stand up tall in our communities, in our schools, in our jobs, in our families, to be men and women of God. Heavenly Father, dwell in us, make us more Christ-like, that we become Christians with the fragrance of Christ. Jesus, we will go out and we will help the communities. We will serve them. We will try to heal them. We will love them. But give us the strength to do it in your name and to stand on your name. When we do face these times of struggles, Heavenly Father, instill into us, do not fear. Bless us as we go on from today, Lord. Bless this afternoon. Bring us back tonight all in one piece, Lord. We ask you to seal everything. In your precious Son's name, amen.